I see farmers markets as a destination, as a community gathering space. So that definitely resonates with me. But also through my work at MCAT, I've come to see farmers markets as essential businesses that help improve food access and combat food insecurity.
Farmers markets are a key ingredient for connecting communities with locally grown foods, handmade products, and value-added goods. According to the Farmers Market Coalition, markets stimulate local economies, increase access to healthy food, support communities, promote sustainability, and preserve farmland. Based on recent USDA census data, farmers markets generated $2.4 billion in sales for America's farmers. The National Center for Appropriate Technology has released a new study detailing the economic impact of farmers markets in Montana and has launched a new website to connect markets, farmers, and communities. In this episode of Voices from the Field, NCAT Communications Director Emily Ritter Saunders speaks with Maura Hinn, NCAT's Community Food System Specialist, about these new resources and unexpected ways farmers markets make a big impact. Let's listen.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Voices from the Field. I'm NCAT Communications Director Emily Ritter Saunders, and I have the pleasure of welcoming NCAT Community Food System Specialist Maura Hinn. Maura's work is focused on connecting Montana farmers market managers with tools and resources that they need to build these community gathering places. And thanks so much for being here today, Maura.
Thanks for having me, Emily.
So we're going to dive into all kinds of interesting stuff today. And, you know, when I think of my own local farmers market, I'm thinking of all the fresh fruits and the veggies that I wait all winter long for and can only get one time of year. I think about how my local farmers market's a place where, you know, the farmers and the makers and the artisans and the coffee shops and musicians gather to create this really beautiful community resource. And then I also think of farmers markets as a destination. And I wonder, how do you think of your local farmers market and its importance within creating community?
I see farmers markets very similarly as a destination, as a community gathering space. So that definitely resonates with me. But also through my work at MCAT, I've come to see farmers markets as essential businesses that help improve food access and combat food insecurity. So through some of my work at NCAT, you know, my local farmers market here is the Butte Farmers Market, and they are an authorized SNAP retailer, so SNAP Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, formerly known as food stamps. And they also participate in the Double SNAP Dollars program, which is a SNAP match program that is available to markets in Montana. And our Butte market sees very high redemption rates in both of those programs. And especially during the pandemic, we saw a real increase in people using SNAP benefits at the farmers market. And, you know, that was so interesting to see and really heartening, because the markets are a place for people to have access to healthy and nutrient-dense food. And especially during a pandemic, it's so important that people are taking care of themselves and are eating nutritiously. So that's been definitely a shift from how I previously looked at farmers markets. And then I also see farmers markets as small business incubators for all types of vendors. They're really easy access points for up-and-coming producers, bakers, cottage food producers. It's a way that they can build loyal customer bases and maybe even eventually branch out into more mainstream markets like a local grocery store.
That makes so much sense to me, because what better way to sort of get feedback on your product than being, you know, face to face with your customer, and they can tell you what they think of your logo or your packaging or whatever it is. And I can see that being so valuable on the vendor side.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because you can make adjustments so much more quickly when you're getting that, like, that customer feedback from week to week. Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah, that's great. And I like this idea that you talk about, you know, farmers markets really serving a need. Like, it's not just a nice thing, but there are, you know, a lot of people around the country who are using farmers markets to get local foods and the importance that that has filled in a lot of our communities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe it seems a little obvious that farmers markets can help, you know, directly connect producers with consumers and get that real-time feedback. I wonder what the lasting impact of that kind of connection can be, and what's the real impact of being able to sell locally, you know, to sell to your neighbor.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are a lot of local impacts. So according to the USDA, direct marketing farmers, so, you know, folks who are at farmers markets or farm stands or even CSAs, community supported agriculture, those farmers experience lower rates of farm business failure or bankruptcy than growers who sell exclusively wholesale. And farmers who sell locally are more likely to keep farming. And it really stimulates the local economy. So also, according to the USDA, growers who are selling locally create 13 full-time operator jobs or full-time farm operator jobs per $1 million in revenue that is earned. And those who do not sell locally only create 3. And then according to a USDA survey, approximately 78% of farmers markets directly selling to customers sold all of their directly marketed food within a 100-mile radius of the farm. So that to me means that those customers are, you know, they're reaching those customers within a 100-mile radius. Those customers are investing their dollars into their local economy, and those farmers are like recirculating that, keeping it closer, that there's less gas that goes into shipping when we're buying and selling locally. It really builds up our local systems. And again, we saw that in the pandemic with food supply chains breaking down. And that was another reason why people who maybe weren't on SNAP went to farmers markets as well, because it's like they needed groceries and they were able to go to the market. So yeah, there's definitely an impact in selling locally.
And I think, too, just about the way I use farmers markets locally, you know, you start to know your vendors and you start to know the farmers, and you go back to the same farm stand every year. You know who has the best whatever that you're looking for. And I'd imagine that has a lasting impact, too, to sort of create those relationships with the farmer and the consumer.
I definitely think so. I think that in a way, it creates kind of a feeling of ownership on the customer side, like a personal investment. I know I personally feel so personally happy when I see a vendor start at a farmer's market and then move into a brick and mortar store that's like more fully supporting our community. I've seen that happen here in Butte. I've seen it happen in other cities I've lived in with farmer's markets. And it makes a person feel like you personally had an impact in that expansion, which I don't know. I find that to feel really good.
Yeah, you have a stake in having their business succeed because you want to keep buying their product. You don't want to see them go away.
Mm-hmm.
So MCAT recently partnered with the University of Montana's Bureau of Business and Economic Research to better understand the impacts of farmers markets here in Montana. And earlier, you know, you shared with all of our listeners some of the national impacts and things we know to be true through USDA. I'm curious what you learned from the University of Montana study and sort of what surprised you about those results.
Right. So there was a lot of information that was shared in that study, but some of the highlights and what surprised me was, aside from the $17.3 million in revenue that was generated by markets in 2021, which is just so impressive, and really a goal of this study was to have a baseline understanding of the economic impact of markets, I was really surprised to learn how many people are working to support farmers markets. In 2021, 4,900 people work to produce and sell the goods and services offered on a typical market day. So that is anybody who worked. That's paid and unpaid. So that may be, you know, family members of a vendor who are helping to get to market who don't necessarily receive income. But that's also, you know, maybe you have farm help on your farm, and they don't necessarily go to market, but they help you pack things to get there. And as of 2021, we had 71 markets in the state. And it's just, I don't know, it's just amazing to me that for every market, I mean, there's multiple markets a week. There's on average that many people working to get those market days going. And then in addition to that, there were 260 full-time Montana jobs that are supported by farmers markets over that 4,900. So those are farmers market managers, program staff. And I mean, we're a big state. We don't have the biggest population in the country. To me, 260 full-time jobs supported by farmers markets was really surprising and really exciting to me.
Yeah. And so it's more than 5,000 jobs in total and close to $20 million for a state the size of Montana, which it's a big deal. Did you find that the importance of farmers markets and the impact of those markets was reserved primarily for our larger communities in the state? Or, you know, how do farmers markets in some of our smallest communities still really make an impact?
Yeah, and markets in large communities are, you know, they're definitely important. You spoke earlier about like the destination experience. We definitely see that in communities like Missoula or up in the Flathead, where we may have a lot of tourists coming and engaging in those markets. But in our smaller communities and in more rural parts of Montana, especially in central and eastern Montana or up on the High Line, farmers markets are really an important access point for staple products. So they really provide, you know, supplemental products such as fruits and vegetables, baked goods, meat, things that you can find in a grocery store. But some of these communities also have a hard time getting to their local grocery store or may not even have one. Some people in those parts of Montana really have to travel sometimes like over 100 miles round trip to get to like a Walmart. And not knocking, you know, chain grocery stores, but they're not going to have a lot of local fruits and vegetables. So if there is a market that is able to provide that, even on a small scale with just a few vendors, that really makes an impact. And then also, you know, the report did reinforce some things that we've heard over and over again from market managers, that it can also be a real challenge to recruit fresh produce vegetables or fresh produce vendors to their markets, especially in that central and eastern part of the state. And, you know, for folks who don't live in Montana, that's a lot of commodity cropping. So a lot of wheat, and it's not a lot of small family farms. So you're not going to see as many of those types of vendors at those markets. And so, you know, we've heard from those market managers, it's hard to get those producers. And so this is where they start to really rely on backyard gardeners to supply produce to the market and kind of, you know, rallying the community to bring what they can if they have a little extra. And, you know, it may not be a lot, but it still, I think, gets to that same feeling of community ownership that a large market can incite in the people who shop there and visit.
So you talk about in some smaller places, markets can have a difficult time recruiting vendors or finding those vendors. I'm wondering, you know, if I am a farmer or an artisan in my community who just never has had a table at a farmer's market, how do I engage with my local market? And maybe what are the first few things I should do as a vendor to become engaged in my market?
Yeah, that's a great question. There are a few important things, whether you're in a rural community or you live in, you know, one of our larger cities and you're looking to become a vendor. Some things to consider is, you know, do you have time to dedicate to the market, including like being at the market, selling, and then the time it takes, you know, if you're a produce vendor, growing, harvesting, and getting to market. you know, if you're not a produce vendor, will you have time to do the production of whatever it is that you want to sell and still be at the market? And this is especially important for, you know, produce and fruits and vegetables, but will you have enough product to last the season, or the season that the market is open? I was a market manager back in the day, and it can be really challenging to have some vendors commit and then not show up. And that, you know, you want to have that consistency for your customers, and, you know, things happen, but being really honest with yourself and honest with your market manager, you know, what you can commit to. Some products are seasonal. So if you're maybe an apple vendor and you know you're not going to be coming until a little bit later in the season, you know, have that expectation managed with the market manager so that they know when you're coming. And then there's also just the investment and costs that are associated with becoming a vendor at a market. So, you know, there are the vendor fees that may apply at selling at the market, the materials that you need to set up, like tables and canopies and signage, and maybe even liability insurance. But also the materials you need to sell the product. If it's, you know, clamshells for berries or jars for jams, and just having that factored in, and then really considering, you know, what you need to charge for your product so that you are, you know, at least making, you know, you're hitting your baseline and not in the red so that you can continue to grow. I think those are important things. And then, you know, as far as how to become a vendor at a market, I think just going to a local market and finding the person who's organizing and asking them, you know, what are the requirements? Do you have an application that I can take home and look at? What are the rules to be a vendor? You know, and it's just a really good excuse during market season to go and visit the market, have a conversation to learn, you know, there may be specific requirements of that market or even that city or community that are required for certain types of vendors.
Learn how to harvest the sun twice with practical information at NCAT's AgriSolar Clearinghouse. Get access to more than 400 peer-reviewed articles, the latest in agri-solar news, and connect with farmers and solar developers who are working together to make the most out of our shared resources. We'll see you at agrisolarclearinghouse.org.
Are there certain types of goods or products that people really seek out at their local farmers market, and things that maybe a vendor would consider that sell particularly well in a certain place or at a certain time of year, things to think about on the consumer side?
That's a really interesting question. I think, you know, the first thing that comes to my mind is people really are looking for fresh seasonal produce. And so I think that, you know, if you're calling yourself a farmer's market, people are going to want to see some of that. But I really think it depends on the market and the customer about what, you know, what are people really looking for. We talked earlier about finding a vendor that, you know, you really care about, you want to invest in. So I think what people, you know, in my opinion, what people are really looking for, aside from those actual items, is that connection and the story behind the product. But there's definitely things that vendors can do to, you know, make their products a little more accessible, you know, making sure that pricing is really obvious, because markets can be busy spaces, so it can be difficult to ask questions. And some customers may not feel comfortable asking questions, so they want to know what a price is right off the bat. And then especially, you know, since the pandemic too, even having some things prepackaged, I think can be more appealing to folks, you know, rather than having a big thing of greens or spring mix that you weigh out, having those individual bags that people can just, you know, grab a half a pound bag or grab two if they're needing, you know, a full pound. And that just makes it a little simpler. It does add time on the vendor's end of having to have that all ready to go before market starts. But those are some things I think can make your products more appealing to customers.
That's helpful. And And my guess is you're going to find a lot of this kind of information on NCAT's new website. So Mara's been working away at developing a new website specifically for Montana farmers market managers and vendors. It's farmersmarketmt.com. And what do you think this resource will really provide to both farmers and market managers and vendors? How do you think it'll help strengthen markets here in Montana?
Well, we really wanted this site to be a sort of a one-stop shop for all things farmers markets in Montana. So for those who are looking to start a market in their community, to more established markets looking to expand community partnerships or to start food access programs like SNAP and Double SNAP dollars, we have resources for all sorts of those things on the website. And in addition to those resources, there are also links to national resources or best practices from other markets or network associations around the country. You know, we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. There are some really amazing things happening in other markets around the country. And so we wanted to be able to provide that all in one spot for people to look for. But it's also a place where you can request assistance from us at NCAT, or we can also connect you with our partners around the state who are working in specific areas. So if there's a question that you have, it's a way to, you know, you can send us an email directly and we'll get back to you. You know, so many of us have either worked for farmers markets or are vendors and producers on the side. So we have real world knowledge on the ground experience that we can help draw from. And then if we don't have an answer, we can also reach out to that wider network and help you with that. I guess my personal goal with the site was, you know, having something that was just really easy to find, that wasn't maybe nested somewhere else in another partner website, and something that our Montana Farmers Market Network, which is what we call kind of our loosely associated group of markets that include all of the markets in the state, something that they could really have ownership of and provide feedback on. So, you know, this process really started with convening a focus group and a panel of market managers and vendors to review the current resources that we had, other websites around the country, so that we could really build something that was going to be accessible, easy to use, and just made sense for our Montana community.
And the web address there again is farmersmarketmt.com. We'll have that in the show notes so folks can click on the link once you've downloaded the podcast and are listening to this conversation. And Mara, I didn't know that you were a market manager. That's so interesting to me. And I wonder, you know, is there a certain resource or something you wished you would have had as a market manager that maybe lives on this site, or something that you're like, gosh, if I had only had X when I was managing a market, that would have made my job this much easier. And I wonder, sort of off the cuff, if you can think of something like that.
So I think this site is actually a big part of it. If you go and visit it, you'll see there's kind of like a step-by-step of, you know, starting a market, and it goes all the way into, you know, incorporating food access programs and things like that. And a lot of the content from that came from the How to Start a Farmers Market in Montana manual that was produced by our partners at the Alternative Energy Resources Organization, or ARRO. And it's in its second edition now. And I really, you know, I took a lot of that and implemented it in all of these steps. So the site is really sort of a living example of that, how to start a market. When I was a market manager, the market was already established. You know, this was when I was living in Wisconsin. I know that there's a market association in Wisconsin, but just knowing that there is a like an online resource of how to kind of manage a market and somewhere to reach out to when you have questions. So really this resource is sort of what let's say it's a version of writing the book that you need, only instead of a book, it's a website.
I love that. And I wonder, you know, are there things to consider if your community doesn't have a market already? What are some things to consider or plan for if you actually want to launch a brand new market? How do you start?
Yeah, I think I've been doing so much research on that in developing the site. And I think some key things that have come to me is that you can't go it alone. You want to have some kind of organizing group that you're working with. So something like a steering committee to help move it forward is very important. And then, you know, assessing the community interest, you know, really asking like, what's the need for the market? You know, what's the purpose for the market? And are there other markets already happening in my community that this is going to compete with? Sometimes competition is a good thing, but you also don't want to set yourself up for failure if you're trying to start a market on the same day as another really important, another highly visited market. And then also considering if there are potential vendors and producers who would be interested and willing to show up. And I think a really big part is you have to connect with your local government to see what are the requirements for starting a market in your city. It is vastly different city to city. Maybe your market is considered a special event, and so you have to have some kind of special event permit, and there's a cost associated with that. You definitely don't want to start a market and have somebody from your health department say, you know, you're in violation of something. It's really important to work closely with your county and local officials. And then also considering how the market's going to run. Volunteers are really wonderful and often how a lot of markets start, but that can be a lot to manage. Burnout is real. And so over time, you know, as your market builds in capacity, I really recommend looking at how to hire and fundraise for at least a part-time market manager. And I think something I've learned through managing markets is it's okay to start small and grow over time. It's a way to manage expectations for your community, for your vendors. It's a lot easier to add than take away. And, you know, it's okay to just go start small. And then you can also really see that baseline and your growth over time, which can be really exciting.
I love that. And I can't help but think of my three-year-old at home who always tells me one step at a time. And I think that's excellent advice in many different applications.
It's very wise for a three-year-old.
Yeah. So, Mara, I have to ask, it's peak farmers market season here in Montana and a lot of places around the country. What is that one item that you will stand in line for, rain or shine, that you have to get at least once a year at the market?
I think without a doubt, it's tomatoes. There is just nothing that is better than fresh tomatoes that were just picked. And I mean, the flavor difference in tomatoes that come locally, it's just amazing. There's nothing that tomatoes from a grocery store that have traveled from a long way, you know, a lot of work goes into that, but just local tomatoes. That's the thing for me.
If you can find the local tomato, maybe a little local basil, and if somebody at the market has some fresh mozzarella, that's a wonderful lunch.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I have to say that mine is Dixon melons, and they are, you know, cantaloupes that come from Dixon, Montana, and there is nothing like it in the world. So if anybody is visiting from out of state or needs to visit their local market in Montana, you stand in line for the Dixon melon. It'll take a while, but it is so worth it.
I can second that. I have also stood in line for Dixon melons. They travel around the state and they're not always at the meat market, but when they are, there is a line that wraps around the corner.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Mara. And if you haven't already, make sure you bookmark farmersmarketmt.com. It's where you're going to find all kinds of practical tools for running a farmer's market or selling at one here in Montana, or even finding, you know, practical tools in there in other parts of the country. And Mara, thanks so much for joining us on this episode of Voices from the Field.
Thanks, Emily.
That's it for this episode. Thanks for listening. Additional information about this episode and related resources can be found at atra.incat.org. Don't miss an episode. Subscribe to Voices from the Field wherever you get your podcasts. I'm your host, Rich Myers. ATRA, Voices from the Field, is produced by the National Center for Appropriate Technology, headquartered in Butte, Montana. It's supported by the USDA Rural Business Cooperative Service as part of NCAT's ATRA Sustainable Agriculture Program. Any opinions, findings, conclusions, or recommendations expressed in this recording are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the USDA or NCAT. We'll catch you again next week, and until then, keep on farming.